Tom Gazzola joins us. And Tom, so it looks like anyway, if Haas is out, and I do wonder his minutes, if Haas maybe got a little bit banged up in that last game or not. I'm not sure. I know he practiced yesterday, so maybe not. But seems like Sam Gagner might start at center on the fourth line.
That's interesting, Greg. And I was kind of wondering what the rationale was. And I like the theory about the mom's trip. That might have a bit to do with it, because I know they all want to see their boys and their boys play well. Obviously, it's a treat for them. But especially with Manning going in as well, I kind of thought of Haas, and I was like, okay, he's starting to find his game a little bit. It looks like a little more confidence when he's getting his touches with the puck. He's forechecking aggressively. And like he skates well, and he flies in and out, which is good. But I kind of wondered, maybe he did get nicked up, but I think Sam Gagner is better at handling a more physical style of game, more North American style of game, obviously, as opposed to Haas, and can handle the rigors of the San Jose Sharks, who I still, in my opinion, think of as kind of a bigger, heavier team to face as well. So, and I think that kind of falls into Brandon Manning getting a look as well again tonight, as opposed to Joel Pearson. So that's kind of the rationale I thought might be behind why Gagner and Manning are getting in there. And then Nygaard, I think he just brings up the bottom six, more talent, and he was starting to show some strides before he got banged up again. So overall, I mean, interesting play. We know Gagner is a utility guy for this team now, and that's going to be the role he's going to play. But I think he's just better at handling the bigger bodies and the more aggressive style of, say, the Sharks.
Yeah, maybe. But speed's such a big issue. Haas, I thought, had been playing very well. On the back end, I understand Manning over Pearson a little bit because he was there against St. Louis. Possibly the Sharks. Now, granted, I've watched a lot of Sharks games recently because I watch pretty much every one of them because my nephew plays there. And the Sharks, you know what, they got some bigger forward, but they don't necessarily play a massive heavy game by any stretch of the imagination. At least they haven't in the games that I've watched. Their biggest problem has been 5-on-5. Their special teams are quite good, but 5-on-5, they've allowed 50 goals 5-on-5. That's the most in the NHL. They're minus 22 goal for against at 5-on-5. The Oilers are plus 6, one of the better teams in the league, 5-on-5. The Sharks' penalty kill, despite their goaltending being terrible at 5-on-5, leads the NHL in penalty kill percentage. But the Sharks have been getting absolutely crushed 5-on-5. And if you're the Edmonton Oilers, this is a game where, you know what, your power play might not get you a lot of momentum. You might get more strictly from 5-on-5 play.
Yep, and that's fair. I mean, and the PK for the Sharks, too, has just been lights out at home. They're like 97% on home ice. So if the Oilers can get the edge on the 5-on-5 even strength play, then they can walk out with a perfect 2-0 record on this California trip. I do like the way they played. I mean, listen, Anaheim was playing pretty good. I know they had dropped a couple of games going into that game on Sunday, but Dallas Eakins has them playing well. And I thought that was a pretty complete road game from the Oilers. And if they kind of carry that type of play into San Jose, even though the Sharks have rattled off 3 straight, Greg, I think that this could be a successful trip for the Oil coming back home here, honestly.
Well, yeah. Well, they win again. Anytime you go 500 on the road trip, you're going to be happy about it, right? And they have a really good chance, I think, to go into San Jose tonight. They obviously have a lot of confidence. And it was interesting listening to McDavid's comments post-game about how, you know what, offensively, obviously I don't think he was talking about him or Leon Draisaitl, but as a group, they hadn't scored a lot. But now all of a sudden, they've got 10 goals in their last 2 games from a few different players. But more importantly, the second line has gotten going. And if your second line gets going and your first line keeps producing at the rate they're at, your bottom six really doesn't have to produce that much.
No, and basically if you can kind of keep afloat and kill time in the offensive zone, which they obviously, and we've talked about this ad nauseum, they've been able to do. The only thing the bottom six hasn't really done is chipped in offensively, although with Haas scoring twice in the last 4 games, you know, a kind of interesting move there as we talked about him coming out. But I really like, I've never given up on Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. After that St. Louis game, people were saying, you know, that was a terrible game that he had. Sure, yeah, that's fine. He's going to have tough games. It's an 82-game schedule. Like, it's not going to be a perfect season for each of these guys, no matter how good they are. But Alex Chiasson has a little bit of confidence. You can see him. Like, I know he he got that goal a couple nights ago, and that kind of, even though it just went in off of him, it's the monkey off the back mentality. And James Neal continues to play well, and I think the heart of that line is Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and with him going 5-on-5 and with him starting to find the back of the net, you know, that's what we expect. But when you've got those two lines going and firing on all cylinders, like, that's a dangerous 1-2 punch. And if the bottom six can hold court like they have throughout the season, then this team might be, as we continue down the schedule, becoming more and more of a legitimate consideration to be a playoff team. And then, you know, let's see what happens in a couple of months. But still a long way to go. We are at the quarter mark, though, Greg. It's funny how quickly this part of the season's come up.
Well, yeah, 20 games in for the Edmonton Oilers, and they have a chance to do something they haven't done since 85, and that's win 13 of their first 20 games. It's only ever happened three times in franchise history when they won 16, 14, and 14, but we're talking 34 years ago. So this has been a very good start for the Oilers. Even if they lose tonight and they skate away with 12 wins in their first 20, they haven't done that since 2002/2003. It's only ever happened eight times in the 40-year history of the Oilers. So this is a really good start for this team, and they really haven't shown a lot of signs. Like, they lost two games twice, but you know, in those games they had really strong stretches against St. Louis. They didn't start good in either game against there. I shouldn't say start. They played well for 2 minutes, and then they didn't play well for about the next 28. And then in the second half against Arizona, second half against St. Louis, I thought they played quite well. They've been a pretty consistent team. If you look at 19 games played thus far, there's rarely been long stretches of inconsistent play.
Yeah, and that stopping the bleeding was something we kind of questioned and kind of looked at and said, okay, let's see how they handle the dips in the season when they do face some adversity. If they go on prolonged stretches where they lose, or if they pick themselves off, dust themselves off, and find ways to win, and they've done that, and that's a sign of a good team. And to this point, keep in mind through 19 games, It's been somewhat consistent. So if they can continue to build off of that, that's a good sign. And I'm kind of curious to see what they're at in terms of record when they get to American Thanksgiving. Because I don't understand this. Like, I know it's a fact, but like 78 or 79% of teams that are in a postseason position by American Thanksgiving tend to make the postseason. And that's what within like the last few years, obviously. But if they're in that spot and that's that sweet spot you want to be in, then I think they're A-okay the rest of the way, barring a massive collapse. Like, we're starting to see Buffalo starting to go through, and they're dealing with some injuries as well. But if the Oilers can get to that magical threshold of American Thanksgiving, riding high here, rattle off a couple more wins in these next six before American Thanksgiving, then I think this team should be seriously considered as a postseason I don't know if lock is fair, but should be considered a postseason team for sure.
Well, if you look at the Oilers, for them, if they win tonight, they're going to be 13 points up on the Sharks, unless it's a win in overtime, then it would be 12. But either way, that's a massive amount of points early on in a season. Like, if you look back after 20 games last year, 8 points separated the top team Sharks and the bottom team LA in the Pacific Division. That was it. Just 8 points after 20 games. And then, you know, obviously the Kings fell off and Edmonton and everybody, Arizona, whatever. But if you can gain that many points on a big team like the San Jose Sharks that many people thought, okay, you know what, eventually they'll find their game. That's just, the Sharks have to play so much better just to catch you. Like, it really can start to eliminate teams in your division slowly.
Yeah, the Sharks have dug a hole. And listen, Greg, if they can rattle off on back-to-back Tuesdays here wins against the Sharks to push them further down, that's massive. And then you look at the schedule coming up. Okay, you've got Colorado. They're a bit nicked up, but that's still a really good team. Dallas, my goodness, I don't know what's going on with Dallas. Jim Montgomery rips into his team again. You know, shades of last year when Jim Lights ripped into the big stars, the big money guys, the Bens and the Sagans and all of those guys. So if you could get, let's say, hypothetically, a win tonight, a win on Saturday, you go back into San Jose next week, win, then you got L.A., who knows what happens against Vegas. Like, you're sitting pretty, like real pretty at the point of American Thanksgiving. And you're right, in terms of like the three spots in the division to get a postseason spot. Like, if you could bury the Sharks some more, you're laughing. But like with 63 games left, like I still don't have a lot of, I don't know, confidence is not the right term, but I'm still kind of leery because there could be injuries could occur, dry spells can happen, and extended losing streaks are still potentially out there. So, you know, a little bit at a time here, but like we're at the quarter mark right away. And American Thanksgiving again, like this is, it really is becoming impressive in my eyes when it comes to this Oilers team this year.
Let's go to the Edmonton Eskimos. Trevor Harris almost perfect in the first half. What's funny is I actually thought the one incompletion, Ellingson could have caught it, crazy enough. So
yeah,
you know, it was pretty much a perfect start for their offense in the entire first half. Their special teams didn't take a penalty. They only took three penalties all the game. They're very disciplined and really controlled that game from start to finish.
And, Greg, I'll be the first to admit it. Every time you asked me about the Eskies and how things were rolling along, I doubted them. And they came out and played a disciplined game. And that's something that I kept bringing up is their lack of discipline. They had a tough schedule to finish up the year. I mean, it only gets harder going into next week against Hamilton. But I thought Montreal, given what they've done this season, was an upstart team. Having the semifinal at home, I thought that was going to be a tough night for the Eskimos, and they proved me completely wrong. Harris, just clutch. I mean, a veteran starter, 22 straight completions to start the game. You're right about Ellington. Probably could have caught that 23rd one. But overall, like that to me was as close to a complete game from this team that we've seen all season. And the one question I had was, where was this in those big games against the big teams in the league? And I guess, you know, now it's the most important time of the year and they showed up and that's a good sign. Another tough test Sunday, but I'll eat crow on this one, Greg, because I was completely wrong and misjudged the Eskimos going into that game and they earned that win.
Where do you feel will be the toughest test that Hamilton provides that Montreal didn't?
Oh, man. I think, well, Montreal was, they didn't have DeVere Posey. They didn't have Chris Matthews. I didn't think Vernon Adams had an especially strong game. You know, he looked good at times, but not all the time. I think that's where the Ticats, I mean, Speedy B is so good. I mean, Luke Tasker, don't count him out. I like him a lot. And when I'm watching this Eskimos team next week, I'm going to be seeing what they can do to get to Dane Evans. There's another inexperienced QB in the playoffs. He's had a hell of a year, but the Eskimos can rattle him and get to him early with that D-line. Maybe they give themselves a chance and they scare him and he starts hearing footsteps every time he takes a snap, then maybe they're going to be okay.
Tommy, we got pregame show coming up tonight at 7 o'clock. You and Connor Halley, we look forward to it. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Greg.